This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What
a solemn.
Ahoy. What?
It's a solemn day.
Norm. Yeah. Friend of the program, Norm.
Super Sky Point. The great Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald is dead.
Bum me out.
Me too. That one hit me.
Yeah. But I would, because.
Great man.
No one even knew he had cancer.
Well, maybe not a great man, but.
Yeah, well.
Very funny.
Very funny. Yeah, someone said the world got a hell of a lot less funny today, and I couldn't agree more. And, you know, he died of cancer, and he didn't know, or no one knew. I guess he kept it very, very quiet. I hadn't read anywhere.
But that's very Norm. That's very on brand.
Yes, but there was a great bit that he did where it bothered him when you have to battle cancer and then lose the fight. And his point was, you don't really lose the fight because when you die, the cancer dies. That's a draw. So,
would you like to hear that?
Yeah, do we have that one teed up?
Yeah, Mike's got it.
Oh.
My Uncle Bert, he's my great uncle, but we call him Uncle Bert. He got bowel cancer now. He's dying of it, you know? And, some people like to say, in the old days, a man could just get sick and die, you know? Now, they have to wage a battle. So my Uncle Bert is waging a courageous battle, which I've seen because I go and visit him, and this is the battle. He's lying in a hospital bed with a thing in his arm watching Matlock on the TV. Instead of that battle, I got him the box set of Matlock. And, but it's not his fault. What the f*** he supposed to do? Ah, I got you. It's just a black thing in his bowel. And the reason I don't like it is because in the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now, they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know? What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but at the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly was what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancer. You know, they were in a battle. And then, what the And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if the cancer dies, I mean, if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss. That's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean? It's not like the cancer's going to jump up and go, ah, Uncle Bert's wife. Where is he? I won fair and square. Is this where he works? Hi, name's Cancer. How are you? Where do I? You just throw me to my cubicle. First name is Bowell.
Paul Norm.
Super Sky Point to the great Norm MacDonald. It's weird, but when I saw that today, my first thought was, oh my God, like maybe a drug overdose or something. And then when I read that it was cancer, my mind immediately went to that, The Courageous Battle. That first album that he did, The Special, was one of the funniest things, because that also had the Shallow Grave bit on it, you know, where if he was a serial killer, he does this whole thing about what he would do if he decided to murder someone, and then, you know, the really, really deep grave. And that first Comedy Central special he did was one of the funniest things ever. And then, of course, the famous ESPY Awards, where he was never invited back to after that. He was just a different guy, but I loved Norm Macdonald, and that bummed me out today that he had a draw with his cancer.
61.
Yeah.
That is really young.
Yes.
That's no good.
No. And that's when I saw 61, like you just, you know, you kind of figured that there was, you know, that's usually what happens in Hollywood. If someone dies, you know, young, you're like, well, you know, maybe an OD on something, but because cancer, you usually find out, like I mentioned yesterday, Jeff Bridges, like my favorite actor, now that Steve McQueen is dead, of cancer, by the way, F you cancer. Like he announced, like he's feeling better. The cancer's in remission. Normally you hear that.
So
right?
He's winning the battle.
He's winning the battle. He's winning the battle against cancer. I guess COVID kicked his ass, but cancer, apparently he's kicking cancer's ass. You normally hear that. Like very few people can keep it quiet, but it does. Like Chadwick Boseman, right? Like no one knew he had cancer and he died. Like that's just kind of weird where it's like, hey, he's dead. Oh, and by the way, for the last like 2 years, he had cancer. So I kind of appreciate someone that in today's social media age, especially with celebrities, where someone just shuts up and, you know, quietly, you know, deals with it.
What year was he in here?
Many, 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 many moons ago. I mean, that's got to be 10, 12 years ago. That was a long time.
I don't think it was quite that long.
I feel like that was a long time ago.
Because we've been on for what, 17 years?
17 years and change, something like that.
I feel like it was this half of, if you split that in half, I feel like it was this half. I'm not sure.
I would say first half, but again, I have learned, I do not trust my recollection of events.
Well, here's my point. My point is,
where's Mike in Ridgefield? He'll know, I guarantee
it. He probably would know. My point is, when we had it, he came in because he was doing a comedy show at
Helium,
and they brought him by, and he was great. He couldn't have been any nicer.
Yeah.
But boy, did he look like a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, something was up. Like this is why I'm asking. I wonder if that's within the. Well, they said he had a 10-year battle with cancer.
Was that a joint interview?
Yeah.
With who?
Kevin Farley.
Yes.
Yes.
That
yes.
is 2011.
So okay, 10 years.
That might be maybe at the start of it. I don't know.
I wonder when he was diagnosed.
I don't know.
That's pretty close.
Because he
was disheveled.
Yeah, and then like when we cut the mic, he was just kind of hunched over. But when the mic came on, it was like boom. Here's Norm Macdonald.
We thought he was drunk.
Yes.
But he was nice.
Yeah.
But drunk.
I love.
He was in a tracksuit.
Yeah, I love, and it was like a UCLA tracksuit too. I remember we asked him like. Like you got like a connection to UCLA. He was like, no, I feel like he just got that at like
so
a
great.
Ross Dress for Less or something.
Well, you remember he used to live tweet golf.
Yeah. And it would piss people off.
Oh, people hated him for it, but he would watch golf
and
just, he liked it. Yeah. And he would just live tweet his thoughts on golf. It was so good. And then it just stopped. I don't know why he stopped doing it, but he stopped.
He just was a different sort of cat, but I just, anything he did, I found him funny.
He was Seinfeld-esque. In terms of his observational humor.
Yeah.
Way more irreverent.
Yeah, I would say so.
And he wasn't for everybody, but I just don't think anybody could say he's not funny. Doesn't have to be your cup of tea, but damn it, he was funny.
Yeah, you said it. It's just he was not everyone's cup of tea. And there's a lot of comedians like that never really...
Well, he attacked everything.
Yes.
I mean, and he was not shy about it.
No, he went on the... You can go back and find it, but he hosted one of the original ESPYs, and he did a thing on OJ. He made everyone in that room so damn uncomfortable, and he didn't care. He was kind of like Ricky Gervais in this way. When you don't care, it's just like, well, here it goes. And he was great. I thought he was one of my favorite Weekend Update guys on Saturday Night Live.
Well, you know that story.
Yes.
He got fired because... Because one of the NBC executives was buddies with OJ.
Yeah.
And Norm was relentless.
Just kept going after
on
him.
OJ on Weekend Update. As a matter of fact, I remember the first line of the first show after the verdict, because he had been going after him the whole time, mm-hmm. was, well, it's official. Murder is now legal in the state of California.
And that was like the end of it.
In his delivery that only he could deliver. But
and he had that weird kind of halting, you know, kind of style that he would speak
so
in.
Good.
He was great. That bummed me out today. when I saw that.
Do you want to hear his other OJ jokes?
His list of OJs?
After grisly photos of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson were shown in court, OJ turned his head away and wept. It was at that moment that he realized he would never be able to kill her again.
Jeez.
See, it's a little a little cringy, but that was Norm.
Especially when you know that your boss has told you, and I guess that's the story, is that the boss was like, hey,
yes,
knock it off.
I'm buddies with him.
I'm buddies with him, and he's been acquitted, and Norm would not stop.
So
and
dry.
That's Norm.
In a sworn deposition this week, OJ Simpson claimed that he never beat, choked, or hit his ex-wife with a closed or open fist. Luckily for OJ, lawyers forgot to ask him if he'd ever cut her head off.
Jeez. Like, I know that he went after him. I guess I don't remember the...
That's what got him fired.
Yeah, the fervor in which he did.
A year and a half later, they prop him up as the host of SNL. Do you remember that? They brought him back.
Yeah.
And he got up there and he said, he made jokes, and I don't remember it verbatim, but I remember he got in a lot of trouble again. Because he got up there and he's like, you may be wondering why I'm here. Like, I'm shocked that I'm here. It's only been a year and a half. They just fired me. They can't stand me. They think I'm not funny. Well, after thinking about it, turns out I'm still not funny. It's just that this show really sucks now. So they brought me in.
Norm.
Just taking shots at SNL.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, he was great.
Yep.
All right, well.
Sad day.
I'm very sad, Jace.
Yeah, and people say the dry humor is, boy, it's way harder to pull off than, I guess, maybe your traditional comedy style. But it does say something that, like, Bill Ingvall and Larry the Cable Guy or that stupid guy with the puppets.
Get her done!
Are these massive tour acts, and guys like Norm Macdonald are more like...
Well, it's because he was smart.
Niche, exactly.
He was like... Shandling a bit.
Yes.
They're just too smart for
their
some
own,
people.
Yeah, for
their
a
own, lot of people.
Yeah,
actually.
And maybe for their own good. But it always depresses me a little bit when you see Jeff Dunham playing the Moda Center and you're like, really? It's like the Jay Leno beating David Letterman.
Norm's doing 50,000 times better stuff over at Helium in front of like 100 people.
Yeah, you just kind of scratch your head and you're like, well, I guess it just goes to show you, like, just a lot of people can be very, very wrong, or it's just easier to produce crap for the masses.
Yet another reason why we're doomed, right?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. I, to this day, cannot process the David Letterman, Jay Leno thing. I really do. I struggle with it. For years and years and years, Jay Leno was, like, the best thing on late-night television. He crushed David Letterman.
He wasn't the best thing. He was the highest rated.
That's kind of my
Dave
point.
Dave was by far the best thing.
Yes, that's kind of...
But it's the same element we're talking about.
Yes, but I can't...
Dave was smart.
I just struggle with that. I struggle with the idea that Jay Leno owned David Letterman. How?
Well, there's a lot of dum-dums out there.
How is that possible?
And there's a lot of olds, you know?
They like...
The olds, you know, Jay catered
white,
to the olds.
White bread, right?
That's right.
You know, vanilla white bread.
All right, well, sucks about Norm... This show, however, in his honor, presses on.
Yes.
Because we're friends of Norm that day. I should go back and find those old pictures. We took, you have to go out of the studio and take pictures.
Yeah, take pictures with
him. If you're famous enough, you get pictures with us. And we took one with Norm.
Well, cause
it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, when they offered up Norm Macdonald, you're like, well, hell yeah. I want to talk to Norm Macdonald.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started. Okay, fella?
Let's.
You want to start?
Let's.
Sports in?
Where would you like to go? You want to go last night?
I don't know.
The NFL is on a roll.
That was a good game.
Yeah, I know it's only week one.
Week one was great.
Yeah, something tells me we're going to get to like week two and people are going to be all pissed because there's no way it can keep it up. But week one was just great, and that was a nice little cherry on top of the week one Sunday.
Yesterday's show was a lot of college football, so let's start with week one, okay?
Let's.
It's the subject of our poll question. We got all NFL this hour, and then we'll get back to college with the Jamboree. At 4, you know that, Tuesday. Did
yes,
you know that?
I did know that.
Oregon NIL deals are flooding in after that Ohio State win, don't you think?
You think? Yeah, I would assume so. I also wonder, too, if some of these NIL deals are going to dry up a little bit. Like, Derek King, the Miami quarterback, signed a couple million dollars worth of those things. I wonder if, within a year, companies and people, I understand that the boosters will always probably be there to offer these up, as an incentive. See the kid from Ohio State that got the million-dollar deal basically to go to Ohio State. But I got to believe, that cat down in Miami's like, dude, I gave this kid, $2 million to endorse me, And now, why? Like, I wonder.
Yeah, if, they may come back a little.
I wonder, you know, these are now all the rage. I wonder if some of this stuff is going to be a little buyer's remorse and pull back.
All right. We also have in the Jamboree the new Jed Fish. You know, remember when Jed Fish and his name would always just, he's the Arizona coach now,
yeah,
but
yeah,
his name would always pop up.
And you can never really figure out why, because no one really wanted Jed Fish, hence him being
right
in Arizona.
But it was always Bruce Feldman that threw it out there.
Always.
So Bruce must be friends with Jed Fish's agent, because guess what? There's a new Jed Fish.
We've got a new one. Arizona.
Feldman promoted him today. Did you see it? For the USC job, he's got a thing about
it. Yeah, I saw that he had a piece, but like there was like 10 names. I'm trying to remember.
He's got a separate one with this guy.
Okay.
It's the new Jed Fish, man. Although you may not think so. You may like this guy, but I think this is the new Jed Fish.
I'm intrigued.
Not that he's a bad coach. It's just that, come on, he's not getting the USC job.
Jed Fish.
All right, so that's in the Jamboree, and so much more today. Let's start with NFL Week 1 next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. It is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. As always, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. It is on our website, 1080thefan.com. Vote, vote hard. Now, I could have put the Raiders on here, but I don't think they get many votes.
Okay.
But maybe they would. Which team is the most for real?
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah. You're putting them.
Oh, yeah.
The Raiders?
Let's go. Well, I mean, like I said, I could have put them on here, but I didn't think they would get a lot of votes.
Yeah.
So they are not on here.
No.
I could have put them on here with the idea that the poll question would catapult us into hot Raiders-Ravens talk.
Yeah, they tried to lose that game a handful of different times.
Because that's what it's all about.
The Ravens would not allow them to.
The Raiders were very Raidery.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I had a buddy who took the Ravens over point total 27 and a half, okay?
Okay.
So think about what he's going through as the Ravens have 27.
Sure.
And the Raiders are driving down, you know, to win the game. And then he gets overtime.
You're like, oh, this is, there's nothing better than having a gambling
loss.
He's
like, oh my God, I can, it's, this is over. And then, oh, no, it's not. It's going to overtime.
Not so fast.
And then it's over again. And they're like, no, the Raiders, he was down. The Raiders got to punch this in. And he's like, it's over. I'm like, no, you need to watch. This is the Raiders, and I'll be damned.
Ball start, and then the pick.
And Peyton Manning called it, too.
I didn't. So I was flipping back and forth. I did not see the Peyton Manning on that. I heard that Peyton Manning was like.
He was great.
He was like angry.
Dude,
about
I think he had money on Vegas because he was openly rooting for Las Vegas, which I'm fine. I mean, I don't care.
Sure, I hope.
But he wanted Vegas to win that game.
I hope he had a little juice on it.
And he called it. He said, oh my God. He goes, false start. They're going to get, you know, this changes everything. Like, this is not a gimme, especially after the quarterback sneak. And he and Eli were sitting there going, why do they, Peyton was saying, run the quarterback sneak again. But Eli was saying, but did you watch any of those guys?
I was flipping back and forth. So yes,
you
I
saw
did
some
see a
of
little
it?
Bit of it. Yes.
They're great. Yeah. And I think that show is very raw. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, on ESPN2 now on Monday nights, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning host their own broadcast.
But there's
that's not supposed to be every week.
Oh, really?
It was supposed to be just week one, and it was supposed to be ESPN Plus moving forward. But I think it got such a good reception that I saw a tweet that it's on ESPN2 again next week.
Oh, okay.
I think.
And they brought in different guests. They had random people that were popping up.
Russell Wilson was on there.
Yeah, Russ was on there. Charles Barkley was on there.
But I got to tell you, dude, maybe it's just me. That was really good. And it's raw right now because it's the first one they've done.
Yeah.
And Eli's a little awkward. But Peyton is such a great personality.
See, I found it interesting when I got home. But as the game got tighter, I didn't like... I wanted to watch the game.
I felt the same way.
And I flipped I flipped over to the main one because
they kept like putting the game in the corner, and I was like, show me the game.
So I would have loved it if you could have put the game on the screen and then given them the corner spot, but I wanted to see what was happening, and they kept shrinking it down. And so I ended up for the last handful when it was really down to the wire and then an OT, I ended up just on the main broadcast because I did not like them going away from it.
They'll figure all that stuff out.
Yes.
They'll work out the kinks. And I think they've got something with that, because if you are a football fan, you are going to learn something from them watching them watch a game.
Yes.
It's really, really interesting to hear those two guys, and then their guests too. Russell Wilson was really good. Mm-hmm. Get super nerdy in X's and O's, because it's like, I can hear Steve Levy say that was a 5-yard rush. Of course, I know that. I watched that. What happened on that 5-yard rush? And they are really good at breaking it down. Not only that, they're actually really fun. Eli Manning is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Very dry, kind of awkward, but he'll get better too. I thought they were great. And I think that there is a chance that what they're doing changes broadcasting slowly. Over time, they're the first to really experiment with something. Well, actually, they're not the first. We've had these alternative broadcasts.
We did the alternative broadcast.
The national title game as the coach's room.
Yeah, the coach's room.
But this is like, I don't know, it's another level up of it because of Peyton and Eli, and they're just smart guys, and they're good hosts. What was the point of what I was telling you there? It was really good.
You were talking about at the end, and Peyton had...
Eli was saying, why are they so right at the end, they do the... Quarterback sneak it. It didn't work. And Peyton's like, do it again. And Eli's like, why is he doing it? It's got to be like hard count.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why is he fooling? He's going to fool his own offensive lineman. And sure enough, the next play, he did a hut hut.
Yeah. And
he fooled his.
Riddick even said that too on the broadcast.
What are you doing?
He even said, he goes, when you're down here at the goal line, you're not fooling anyone. He goes, you do not mess around with your snap count.
Yeah.
And that is true. Like, people don't appreciate this. When you're an offensive lineman on the goal line and everyone knows it's a quarterback sneak, you're down in a 4-point. Normally you try to be in a balanced stance, right? You can't lean forward. You can't lean back. When you're on the goal line, man, you are on all fours. You're about 2 inches off the ground. You're in a froggy stance, and you know, at the snap of the ball, it is Thunderdome, right? Low man. And you cannot go down there and screw around with this stupid hut hut thing. And it's, I heard that on, I was following along on Twitter.
So Riddick.
Riddick said it too, but you know, and then people were saying, hey, Eli just called that. Yeah. The only thing that you're going to do there, because even if the defensive lineman jumps, who gives a rip? It's only putting it 2 inches closer. You run the risk of it. And by the way, Leatherwood, he had a rough game.
So it was very Raidery.
Yeah.
So then the next play, they throw it off some guy's helmet, or two plays later.
And I didn't like that they were blaming Carr. I understand that he had a little zip on that ball. But he had a guy in his face at the goal line. You got to foot it in there. It went right through his hands.
Yeah, but it's just very Raidery.
Yes.
But anyway, Peyton and Eli, give them a look next week. I think you'll get hooked on it.
Yeah.
It's really good. And like I said, I think it'll only get better. A very interesting way to watch football. So the poll question is, which team is more for real? Steelers, Saints, Chargers, Eagles, or my Arizona Cardinals? Log on and vote. You must, though. Please, we beg of you, vote hard.
Well, I hate the week one overreactions. You know me. I loathe them.
So
but
do it.
If you're forcing me to
of
vote.
Course, that's the point.
And vote hard.
No one knows who's for real. That's the point is who do you think is for real of those five teams that were impressive?
I kind of think it's the Chargers. I think the Chargers are for real.
Okay.
I do. The Saints is...
that the others are not for real. It's just who's most for real.
Who's most for real. I kind of want to say it's the Chargers. Now, the Saints are intriguing to me because New Orleans is good. I like New Orleans' roster. It's just the Jameis Winston thing is puzzling. But he didn't turn the ball over and he had 5 tutties. And I get that, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers look beyond disinterested and it's 1 week. But I've said it all along. If Jameis Winston cannot turn the ball over or just cut down the bad turnovers, right, and just go middle-of-the-road turnovers in the league... Jameis Winston's a top 6 or 7 quarterback. You put a top 6 or 7 quarterback on that Saints roster, you got a scary team. I can't say that after week one. The Chargers, they upgraded their offensive line, right? They've got their defense healthy. And the last couple of years, especially last year with Herbert, they find creative ways to lose ball games. They're in a lot of games. They should have beat Kansas City last year. Should have beat a lot of teams. And so if they can just clean it up and you get another year of Herbert, I think the Chargers can be really, really good. So I feel like right now I feel better about saying that Herbert is for real versus Winston. So I'm going to lean towards the Chargers because the Philly thing scares me. Steelers, yeah, those are all good. That's a really tough question.
Philly looks good.
Philly looked good, but that's the one I'm least sold on. If you wanted to go, if you flipped that poll question, you said, which one am I least convinced?
That's an easy answer.
Then I would say Philadelphia.
Yeah, but that makes it easy.
Yes.
I wouldn't have Philly on there that instance.
Chargers. Chargers are my...
You know who the Steelers have this week? You looked ahead yet?
I did, and I can't remember off the top of my head.
My Raiders.
Your Raiders. You see, who? By the way, Najee Harris played every snap for Pittsburgh.
Did he?
Yeah, it's not really sustainable, but just kind of one of those interesting.
Has anybody ever played every snap for a full season?
It doesn't work. I just thought it was interesting that, like, that's a rookie and, you know, the whole rookie wall thing, and they're like, you will play every snap. But also goes to show you that guy is a three down back, pass protection, all that for a rook. That's pretty impressive.
All right.
And is that in Vegas or is that?
It's in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Coming up next, let's go through week one, shall we?
Yes.
We've got a lot to talk about. We didn't get to any of it yesterday.
Week one
Seahawks.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, 12 underdogs. I don't know if they covered. Did 12 underdogs win or did 12 underdogs just cover? 12 of the 16, the underdogs at least covered.
At least covered.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Seahawks look good. We'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Week one. Week one of the NFL.
You all right over there?
Yeah. Yeah, great. Doing great. We had a wild weekend. It was good.
Yeah, it was a really good week.
A lot of stuff went down.
And a lot of the, you know, the marquee games lived up to the hype, right? I mean, you got Thursday night football was great. And
well, Packers-Saints didn't.
Yeah, Packers-Saints didn't. But Monday night, you know, the bookends, right? You had Monday night and then the Thursday opener were both classics. In fact, I'm sure we'll get something else, but those could both be candidates for game of the year. And that was in week one. And the fact that they were both kind of, like I said, the bookends in prime time, that was huge. But you're right. That was the Packers and the Saints ended up being a giant dud and maybe the most shocking of the week. I mean, not that it was inconceivable that New Orleans is going to beat Green Bay, but Green Bay was going to put up 3 points, 38-3, and Jameis Winston wasn't going to turn the ball over.
You worried about Rodgers there?
I don't know. I mean, I know that everyone right now is kind of...
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, they've got it. They got their knickers in a twist saying that, you know, is he disinterested and he doesn't want to be there? But Matt LaFleur came out and tried to do the relax. And we've seen this from Rodgers. We've seen this from Green Bay. And we've also seen this many times over the years where we try to bury a good team at the start of the year. And it turns out to be absolute hogwash. So... look, if this gets to week four and they're 1-3 and their offense looks like this, by all means. But we thought Green Bay was one of the better rosters. And, you know, I don't think it's as good a roster as Cleveland. I don't think it's as good a roster as Cleveland. But I think it's a good roster without a ton of holes. And Aaron Rodgers. So the guy was the MVP last year. I'm by no means writing them off in any shape or form. So I think a lot of that is, again, just the knee-jerk reaction to week one. Even if they look poor in week two.
Well, we're a little sensitive to Rodgers and the Packers because of everything that's gone on.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you see that the Saints got to pick where they played that game?
Yeah, because of the whole, you know, hurricane mess. They were supposed to be the home team. So, yes, it would make sense that they would get to pick a place, barring, I guess, availability.
They wanted to be in Dallas, but Dallas had a concert.
Yes.
Yeah, so they... I guess I never even thought about it, but the home team gets to pick where they play a displaced game like that.
Yes.
And I was thinking maybe the league just picked it, but why would I think that? It does make sense. So did you read why they chose Jacksonville?
Yeah, there was I think CBS Sports had it with some of the reasons why they, they chose Jacksonville.
Dude, Sean Payton is great. He said that he had his staff. Because they were, so no Dallas, they were looking at Miami.
And Miami got eliminated because it was too much of a party scene. It was a destination spot.
Because he thought Packers fans would want to go down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So Miami, Orlando, Jacksonville, I think is what it was. Or maybe it was Tampa. It was probably Tampa and Jacksonville. The three Florida sites, and he had his staff looking up the highest airfares mm-hmm. from the Green Bay or Wisconsin area.
Yeah.
And making sure that it was multiple flights to get to the destination.
Yeah, he did not want.
He didn't want any direct flights.
He didn't want Green Bay fans barnstorming the game.
And then he wanted grass, and he wanted heat, and he even studied which direction, based on their game time, the sun would be shining in the stadiums. And for those reasons, he settled on Jacksonville.
The other one I read
was... And they won 38-3.
Yeah, they stomped.
It was great.
Clearly because it was Jacksonville. The other one I read was... It wasn't Miami, it was Tampa. Yeah, because the same division. He was afraid that the Tampa Bay fans would go to the game just to cheer for Green Bay because, you know, the same division that they would be anti-Saints. So he was terrified that even if the Green Bay fans couldn't get there, the Tampa fans would, and that would be a home field advantage. Isn't it wonderful how petty and just detailed coaches are?
Hey, it's a big game.
Yeah,
you want as many little things in your favor as you can
and
get.
It turns out they didn't need any of them because Green Bay didn't show up.
I think if they play in Tampa, it's another story. Because all those Bucks fans that would have showed up.
Would have been 38-13. Well, I mean, the home field advantage, that can't be overstated. It really can't. In football, when you're playing in front of a hostile crowd, especially
in New Orleans, like, he's losing the home game there.
Yes.
Like, he's got to make it, at least try to make it somewhat advantageous for him.
Yeah.
And the team.
If you're playing in front of a group of people and you can't hear and you can't audible and your offensive line is having to go on silent counts, it is kind of a big deal. Like, I think sometimes we're like, oh, home field advantage, whatever. No, in football, it's quite an advantage.
I have a audio clip for you.
Okay.
Before we move on to other games from week one, but I heard this and liked it on the social media because it was Jameis Winston who had 5 tutties.
0 turnovers.
And no turnovers in that game.
I believe that if you would have told me he has 5 tutties, I would have been like, that sounds about right, but give me 4 picks.
So he was doing his post-game interview, you know?
Was he eating the W?
No, but it's just classic Jameis.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
How did the defense and the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Jameis.
He forgot.
You know.
Classic Jameis.
I
like how quickly he went, I don't remember what he told me.
He just said be prepared.
It hurts. And by the way, he looks like he's in much better shape. He does not.
Well, he got LASIK.
Yeah.
Did you see those eyes?
He's not squinting. I'm just saying he looks like he's dropped 15 pounds. Like, Winston was never accused of being like the most in shape guy. He is noticeably slimmer this year than he was in the past. And apparently he rededicated himself and he got LASIK, so he's not squinting as much.
He's like Marty Fish.
But
you seen that doc yet?
I have seen that doc.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's actually really good. Yeah.
Interesting. It's about the tennis player.
Yes.
Look it up.
I think you might have recommended that to me.
Well, the series. I didn't recommend that. I only watched it the other night, but that whole series.
Yeah.
I think it's called Untold.
I believe you're correct.
Is that right?
I think it's right.
It's a series of documentaries.
Yeah.
The first one was The Malice in the Palace.
Yes.
And they're all on Netflix, and they're all really good. I don't know if I've seen all of them yet, but the hockey one is fantastic.
Hockey one's fantastic. I really like
Mob Boss.
I really liked The Malice in the Palace.
That was a great one.
The Marty Fish one, I knew nothing about. Yeah. It was just the next one that was recommended.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh,
I'll give it a whirl. That's exactly what I... Yeah. So Marty Fish and Andy Roddick were the two kind of saving graces for American tennis after Sampras, Agassi, and all these guys were gone, right?
There wasn't really anything... there hasn't been anything said.
So you should watch it. It's the story of mostly Marty Fish, but also Andy Roddick's story is in there. And they're interviewed in there, and it's about mental health and things like that. It's really good. Anyway, what were you saying? Sports.
I find Jameis Winston, I know he had the one accusation, and so that kind of clouds it a little bit, but I kind of like Jameis Winston. I want to root for him.
Don't his teammates really like him?
Yes.
They say he's a good dude.
He's supposed to be a good dude, and he's supposed to be a really good leader, and he's supposed to be really smart, and like, we just crap on him so much, and you know, he's got the crab lip things, and he eats the W's, but there's... He kind of seems like a moron, but like a lovable moron, right? Like, he could be like a wacky next door neighbor in a sitcom. And I don't know why, but I'm kind of rooting for Jameis Winston, even in that clip where he's like, my trainer, he just told me to be prepared. I want him to be good.
Let me set the over-under on Jameis Winston interceptions this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to, I'm going to write it down in my notes and we're going to revisit this. Okay, fella?
Please.
So here are his interception numbers for his career. He started in 2015. All right. He had 15 picks that year, mm-hmm. then 18, 11, 14, 30.
Yeah. That hurts.
That's all in Tampa.
Yeah, that hurts. And that was the year that he threw 30 tutties, 30 picks, and it's never been done before.
So I would like to point out, he only had, there was one season where he only had 11 picks. Now, he didn't play all 16 that year. He started 13 games.
Okay.
But still.
Yeah.
I feel like you should put that at like 12 and a half.
You think so? That low?
Well, if we're averaging the first 4 years, it'd be somewhere around there, ignoring the 30 year.
Well, but if you average the first 4 years, it may even be lower because you might think that he's going to turn it over less in New Orleans.
Which I do.
I mean, he only had the one year he had 30. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that was the year he threw for like 5,000 yards. And
some of that was the game plan. They just threw the ball up all the time.
And remember, too, his first pass in the NFL was a pick, and his last pass in Tampa was a pick. And I think it might have been a pick six, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, you can go a little higher if you want. I was just being kind because I think he'll be better this year.
So he's never had over 20 outside of that one season.
Outside of the one. I think it's probably the, if you're putting odds, I'd probably say like 14.
By the way, Eli Manning had three seasons over 20. 20, oh. 25, and 27.
And yet we don't kill Eli. Well, actually, we do kind of kill Eli Manning.
No, but we killed him plenty.
Yeah, he definitely took heat, but he also won Super Bowls and shut everyone up.
That certainly helps.
Like Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Won a Super Bowl. So let's put it at over-under interceptions, just interceptions.
I said 12 and a half. Sook said 14, so meet in the middle.
If you're taking the 12 and a half, I'll go over.
Well, I mean, we can meet in the middle. I'm
going to say it's 15. The over-under is 15.
Under?
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
And I don't feel great about
under
it.
Under, that's a terrible bet.
I'll take the under.
Okay,
I'm putting
it in my notes.
I think Sean Payton and that offense are going to be good for him. I really do. And apparently he can see now, so... I like it. I'll take the under.
Okay. Sook takes under. Mike takes under. What's today?
September 14th.
September 14th.
What are you taking? The over?
Oh, yeah. That'll go over for sure. Easy money. All right. More on week one next, including my boy, Chandler Jones. Did you see Chandler Jones out there?
I believe that's actually my boy, Chandler Jones.
Our boy.
Why is he
went to Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
I covered him when I was there.
Friend of Chandler
Friend
Jones.
Friend of the program, Chandler Jones.
He was always fantastic on the postgame show when we had him on in interviews. He was awesome.
I'm always fascinated by the fact that that dude obviously is a badass, and yet he's the biggest candy ass in his family. I find that's always odd to me.
Who else is in his family?
The greatest mixed martial arts fighter of all time is his brother.
And he also has another brother, Arthur Jones, who was also an NFL defensive lineman.
Yeah. What's his name?
John Jones.
John Bones Jones.
That guy?
Yeah. He's like the baddest dude on the planet. I don't know why, it's like the Jameis Winston thing. Like it just pops into my head. I just think about like Chandler Jones being like at Thanksgiving dinner with his family and then getting picked on, like getting picked on by his brother. Like here's just this like sculpted 260-pound defensive end monster, one of the best D linemen over the last decade in the NFL, and then just like getting like a purple nurple and like a wet willy and not being able to do anything about it because your brother is an assassin.
All right, more on week one next. Then the Jamboree on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
On the Saints front, six offensive coaches tested positive for the COVID.
Yeah. So. And then there was like two others, right? Like staff members?
Yeah. There's eight of them total. Yeah. Six on the offensive side, all coaches. And they play Carolina this week. So Chandler Jones had five sacks for the Cardinals.
I do love now that we're like, well, he's on pace to break the single season record. Yeah, that's what happens when you get five in week one. And remember, he lists most of last year, I think like week maybe four or five, he went out with a torn bicep and missed all of last year and said he would come back better than ever. And he did it against a pretty good tackle.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor Lewan is not he's not a road apple.
Yeah, I've been watching football for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I saw a guy get five in a game.
It's been a while.
But I looked up the record. Do you know what the record is?
I think it was Derek Thomas against the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe 9-8 somewhere there?
He alone had 7.
Okay.
They sacked, I think it was Dave Craig. They sacked him 9 times, but Derek Thomas had 7 in the same game, which is the record. So, but my God, that's a lot.
Yes, it is. Well, I mean, you get...
They carved up the Titans.
Yeah, the Titans looked really, really, really bad. And I kind of thought Tennessee was maybe getting slept on a little bit. Liked their O-line, good quarterback, 2 weapons on the outside, and, you know, with best running back in the NFL the last couple of years. That's not a bad offense that they played, and Arizona bitch slapped him. And again, when you can't block one guy, and dude, they were trying to give him help as that game wore on. They realized that he couldn't block him, and he still got him. So that's...
You know he has more sacks than J.J. Watt?
In his career?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that he's like the... I think he's like the 8th guy in NFL history to reach... I'll have to look it up. It's like a certain sack number. It's in rarefied air. Like he had, that's why I said he's been one of the best ones over the last decade. And I would say of the dominant defensive players, I think Chandler Jones probably is the least known or least appreciated. Like when you think of great pass rushers, right? Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, both multiple time defensive players of the year. Von Miller gets a lot of credit, who has just been phenomenal since entering the league. Chandler Jones is not that far behind some of those guys, and you just don't really... I mean, New England let him go. New England got rid of him. And he's been great ever since. Well, he was great in New England. He just is an underappreciated guy.
So of active players, he is 2nd in sacks. You know who's first? Jones is at 102. J.J. Watt's 101.
I'm trying to think of who. Maybe probably Von Miller.
Yep, it's Von Miller.
Yeah.
108.
Yeah.
But... yeah, more than J.J. Watt. Did you see the...
Well, I remember, too, that J.J. Watt has played a lot on the inside. And,
yeah,
you know, that's like when you compare Aaron Donald's stats. When you're looking at what Watt and Donald do, the fact that they fight in the middle, I know Watt and both do play on the outside a little bit, but they've spent a lot of their careers, especially Donald, but Watt, too, playing inside between the tackles. It's a hell of a lot harder to rush the quarterback when you're playing inside than when you're one-on-one basically on the outside. So... Look, take nothing away from Chandler Jones or Von Miller, but J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald are the most disruptive defensive players since, you know, insert Reggie White maybe. You know, I mean, they're special guys.
I was looking at the Watt family.
And both play the run real well.
J.J. and T.J.
Well, that's the other one, too, is Chandler Jones. We mentioned his older brother, Arthur Jones, played 7 or 8 years, won a Super Bowl in Baltimore. And then... Chandler, I think, is the youngest, and he's one of the best defensive linemen. And the middle brother is the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. And on the Watt side of things, you've got a fullback, right, that's hanging around the league. One of, if not the best defensive lineman over the, you know, since Reggie White. Oh, and now a brother who's arguably one of the 2 or 3 best defensive players in football. Those are some good bloodlines for both of those guys.
Yeah, but look at his parents, or their parents, the Watts. Have you seen their parents?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, give that a Google image. We were talking about this just the other day.
Is it like breeding stock or?
No, not at all. It's like, what? Those 3 guys came from those 2? And it's like we were just talking about this.
This old Connie Watt?
About how when you're young,
Really?
The youthful glow of life.
Yeah.
Is attractive. Like most young people are attractive. They're all different shapes and sizes and colors and this and that.
Yeah.
But ultimately when you're young, you're in your 20s, you glow and life hasn't beaten you down and your metabolism's good and you're attractive to somebody, right?
Exactly.
When you get older, most people lose all of that. Like, I mean all of it. But we stay married and we're in love and this and that. But look at us. God, you know, the dad bods and stuff. Look at JJ. There is no better example of this than looking at the Watt family.
Yeah, the dad.
Look at those 2.
Yeah, it's not. Boy, you are so right. Those 2 produced those 3 boys. Because let's not forget the brother. I forget what the brother's name is. But, you know, the fullback. I think he's still on the Chargers. Let's not just forget him. But
all of them.
They produced those boys.
Yeah. So when you say, because we were talking about this with Andrew Nemec the other night, somehow he got onto our show. And it was, you guys were talking about how most couples aren't attracted to each other anymore.
Yes.
Well, this is why.
Life happens.
Yes.
Life happens.
Life occurs, and then you look like that, and then of course she's not attracted to you.
But they went halvesies on some really, really talented fetuses, and my guess is that they can be retired now and have a lake house and a boat. So
pretty amazing.
That union worked out pretty good. Now the question is, what's the better bloodline? Three NFL players, including obviously the two super high-end of the Watt brothers, or do you go with the Jones family, where you have a very good older brother defensive lineman, the greatest to ever play his sport, and a Hall of Fame other NFL player? Which is better, the Watts or the Joneses?
Probably the Joneses, don't you think?
Because you've got a GOAT and a very, very good, well, you've got a solid and then an elite, whereas the Watts, you've got...
Well, it's multiple disciplines.
Yeah.
I'm giving him credit for it's not just football.
It's not just football.
Yeah.
That's a tough call, because you got two defensive players of the year.
Well, you have the Mannings and you have the Boses.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the Boses.
Yeah, but the Boses only... Yeah, the Boses just
there's
have...
There's two of them?
There's the two.
I thought there was a third one running around.
I think there might be, but he hasn't...
With like a club foot or something.
I thought he was in college, though.
I think he's in college. I don't think he's in the NFL. And the Mannings only got two.
Although the two Boses could turn out to both be elite.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous... It's you're telling me the genetics may play a role.
Watts or Boses?
Watts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. JJ is like won like three or four defensive players of the year... Surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, and TJ's on his way.
What about the Matthews back in the day?
That may be the first family of football. Like,
well, because that's not like the Watts, where it's like you look at the dad and go, "What?"
Yeah,
they go all the way back to grandpa.
Yeah, and like both brothers are, you know, Bruce is, you know, Hall of Famer. I think Clay Senior is a Hall of Famer too.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
that's tough to beat there.
It's kind of ridiculous.
All right, you want to move on to our Jamboree? We have more Week 1 NFL discussion, but it's going to have to wait because it is Tuesday at 4, and it is time for our Jamboree. We will update you on Oregon's injuries.
Yeah, it's not good.
We will...
That may be the one thing, by the way, that scares me more than anything else about Oregon's season going forward.
Yeah, injuries.
You just... You can't lose at one group or like a front seven. Eventually...
It's tough.
You know, and just because you've had a rash doesn't mean that more aren't coming. That's the thing I think that maybe if you're going to look at something that could derail it, that would scare me a little.
So we'll get to that. And the odds on USC's next coach, they are out, and they do include Mario Cristobal. It's 4 o'clock on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.